to the Behind the Whistles podcast with Des Roach and Steve Conroy in association with Roxburgh Group. If you need insurance, Roxburgh have you covered.
Good afternoon, it's James here with another episode of Behind the Whistles podcast, episode 5. I'm joined as always by former SFA Category 1 referee Des Roach. How are you, Des?
I'm very well, very well. Feeling better than the rain sounds out there.
Oh, it's horrible out there at the moment, isn't it? Unfortunately, Steve's not with us this weekend. He's got other engagements. Understand that he's supporting his wife who's running a marathon for charity.
Yeah. Sam's down in Manchester. She's been an absolute trooper. She's been carrying a couple injuries recently. But her and her friend Amanda are down doing the Manchester Marathon. Steve and Amanda's husband are down there supporting them. But yeah, they're supporting at Tiny Changes, at Beats and Charity, and at One Parent Family Scotland. So all really, really worthwhile causes, and the effort Sam's put in to get herself in shape to try and do this is tremendous. So well done, Sam, and well done, Amanda.
Yeah,
Steve, you're going away again next week. You'll get more holidays than Santa. Come on.
Congratulations. Oh, well done, Sam. Proud of you. We all are. Moving on to football. So we had our day out yesterday. We were sponsoring the match in the West of Scotland Football League, Renfrew FC versus Shotspur Accord. Very good game of football, great day out. Lovely people at the club looked after us, fed us, watered us.
Yeah, as they always do. It was a great day out. Brilliant game of football. 5 goals. Lots of excitement. Lots of good football played in the right manner. And a brilliant football club to be involved with. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and you'll be, I've told you, I'll convert you yet. You'll be a Renfrew FC man soon.
Well, I very much enjoyed my day out, and I'm very thankful to the club for having us, and hopefully we do it again sometime in the future. We have said that we are going to try and sponsor a few clubs within the league next season, whether that be match sponsor, ball sponsor, etc. And by talking about the top level football and then putting some money back into the other end, what a great thing to do. So yeah, we'll continue to try and support it where we can. Moving on to football of the weekend, shall we talk firstly regards to Friday night. It was Morton and Dundee United, and there was 2 particular incidents in the game you were watching, covering, and the first one was what you felt was simulation for Katongo.
Yeah, I thought it was. There was a break from play by Morton, and Katongo was coming across the halfway line. He was literally trying to exploit some space on the left wing. 2 Dundee United players were closing in close proximity, and for whatever reason, Katongo chose to go to ground. There was no physical contact made by the Dundee United defenders. Katongo went down for no reason, and it was delighted to see Graham Granger pick that up. And it was only Graham could only pick that because he was in the right position. He was close enough to play, and he made that call. Katongo had a slight reverb at him, but he had no grounds to stand on. Well, so to speak, he had no grounds to stand on. But no, that was a good decision by Graham Granger at that moment in time. So yeah, he had to be applauded for that one.
Brilliant. Jack Baird, appeared to put a deliberate stamp on Lewis Moult's calf. Should he have got red?
Yeah, he should have. Moult and Baird were having a bit of a to and fro together, which you would expect from a centre-forward and a centre-half. This came just a couple of minutes before half-time over at towards the old cowshed at Capello. Ball was in the air, Louis Moult's went up. There's been a coming together, as you would expect, between two physical players. I think Baird was a wee bit aggrieved. He thought that Moult might have left an arm in there. But for no reason whatsoever, Jack Baird, as he's getting to his feet, has used that opportunity to stamp, whatever way you want to see, directly onto Louis Moult's calf when he had no need to. So I think he was a very, very lucky boy to stay on the field to play at that moment in time. And it was just the same that Graham never picked up, because that would have been the icing on the cake for him. But it was Baird was lucky.
I agree. From what I've seen on the tweets of the highlights, it looked a bit naughty. So, yeah, agree. Probably a red. If you had VAR in that league, which you don't. He was very fortunate. Moving on to Saturday's game, the first one, Motherwell versus Hibs. And the first incident I'd like to talk to you about is Bashiri. I felt it was a dive, and I felt that Wally Collum got the call right when he looked at it and decided to book him for diving.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Bashiri had no other option, not other option, sorry, he had no other decision. That was his decision. He was going to take that opportunity to dive, and Wally, to his credit, got it absolutely correct. There was a few things that came after that we'll discuss, but if you take that incident in isolation, absolutely fine. Yellow card, no issues at all.
Yeah, I think it was Blair Spittle. I think he took offence to the fact that Bashiri has gone down in front of him, and as Bashiri gets back to his feet, Spittle quite aggressively pushes him back over. There's a bit of kerfuffle, a few players involved, and Wally Collum's taken both Spittle and Martin Boyle, who's involved in that scuffle, away and given them both a yellow card. But ultimately, that's three yellow cards issued because somebody decided to throw themselves to the ground.
And that's what people need to realise. There's a consequence of that action. Blair Spittle is obviously really aggrieved that somebody has tried to deceive the referee, potentially lose Motherwell a goal. Martin Boyle's got involved to defend his player. They've grabbed each other. They're both correctly cautioned. It's not a sending off because it's not violent. They've grabbed each other here, been a bit of stramash. It's aggressive. So, yep, two yellow cards. And what I would also say is it shows you how much shows you how much Blair Spittle is still fighting for this team, knowing that he's moving to Hearts in the summer. He's so dedicated to try and do well for his club, which I think is A, it should be expected, B, it's commendable.
It's very commendable, that I agree with you. The next incident in the game is Theo Bear had a goal chop for offside. It was a call that was made on the park by both the AR1 or AR2.
AR2. I'm going to need to teach you this again.
I'll get it right one day. Listen, it's an awful lot to take in for me. I'm already getting the laws right instead of the rules, so stay with me. He's called that decision correctly from looking at it, and a quick VAR check confirmed he was correct and that the goal shouldn't stand, that Bear was offside. So there's nothing much really more to say on that other than to say, you know, the guys on the park can still call it accurately without assistance. The next one is the penalty kick. I don't think it's a penalty. I'll explain why. I think that Fish, rather than go out to receive the ball, has put the leg across O'Donnell's path, who was already on his way out to the ball. And I think that O'Donnell's already committed to that motion. And we've talked about a couple of these before, where if you go and put your body part in the place of someone already in the motion of doing something, that shouldn't be a penalty for me. Do you agree with that, or have you got a different take on it?
No, I've got a different take on it. I think it is a penalty kick. Okay. The reason I think it is a penalty kick, and people can believe me or not, but as we've said all the time, we'll give our opinion, you don't have to agree. In my opinion, the Hibernian player was shaping his body to take the ball. He was anticipating the ball coming in and how he was then, what his next phase of play was going to be. O'Donnell has committed to a challenge that he didn't need to. The ball was going away for goal. He's then came through the back and made contact. And as soon as that contact was made, you can see straight away O'Donnell knew what he had done. And someone of his experience should be standing up. Why dive in? You're still another 15, 16 yards out. So as soon as he's made that contact, what I would say, in Stephen O'Donnell's defence, I'd say it was clumsy and ill-judged. And I think a player of his experience should have been a bit wiser, a bit cuter. But nobody, you've not heard anybody from Motherwell complain that the penalty was given against them.
Yeah, fair enough. I've just seen it differently, but that's what happens to the referees in the park, don't they? They can see it one way, see it the other. I mean, we've got different opinions. They've got to call it on the moment. So, okay. Don't agree with you, but that's what happens. That's football, and that's opinions. There'll be other people that don't agree with you either, and there'll be people that don't agree with me on that, but that's the beauty of thing about football. It creates conversation. That was it in that game, wasn't it? I mean, well, we could talk about Blaney's equaliser, which is just unbelievable. It's a beautiful strike, isn't it?
If that's up for goal of the month, sorry, goal of the season, never mind goal of the month, and it was a reactional shot as well.
Mm-hmm.
Completely reactional, but the boys struck it tremendously. They were absolutely brilliant. There's a, what was it, the old soccer EM said, take a bow, son.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that one, it's worth looking back on highlights where he's come to him on the half volley and he's hooked it right across the keeper into the corner. It's a beautiful finish. It's a goal that deserves at least a point. It was a feisty battle. Obviously, both clubs are still fighting out for marginal opportunities, top six. It got a bit tasty at times. I do think that Hibs were quite wasteful in the first half. They had a lot of opportunities, but credit also to Liam Kelly, Motherwell goalkeeper, because he made some important saves in the first half that built the foundations for Motherwell to go and get a result in the game. But yeah, an enjoyable game, good battle.
Yep. I think that's been the story of Hibs' season. It's just been just negligible points lost and negligible errors made. But those negligible errors count up and count up and count up, and that's why they find themselves in the bottom six now.
Yeah, I don't know what will happen with Hibs when Nick Montgomery in the summertime. I don't know whether they stick a twist on him. I think some of the players that have come in his time have impressed. They might not have impressed consistently, but they look a better side from when he did come in. I'll say that much. I really do. I think that the way that they attack on the counter, they can be really impressive, but it's what's happening at the other end that's punishing them. They'll get themselves into a winning position and throw it with something silly at the end. It'll be an interesting summer for Hibs, see what happens there. As for Motherwell, sure, Kettlewell around October, November, I think there was a run of six or seven games or something without delivering points, and the pressure was on, and the bookies had them favourite for next for the job, and you get players back from injury, and you unearth some additional youth and brought them into the team and started delivering, and he's, you know, they finished the season strongly. And I think that's a lesson as well for some football fans not to jump the gun with manager decisions and push, because they can't turn that around. You just need to give them an opportunity.
I think Kettlewell's proven that he's very tactically aware, and he's aware of the people at his disposal. But Motherwell don't have money to go and sign these big, massive players. You get a Kevin Van Veen at a club like Motherwell once in a decade, they'll always unearth someone. The next one they've got is Lennon Miller, who is an outstanding young man in a man's body. So let's just hope that Motherwell and Hibs stick with their managers and say, right, okay, let's give them this next opportunity, because it's very easy to chop and change when a manager's under a bit of pressure. But come on, give them a couple of windows, at least 2 to 3 windows, and then they've got the shape of their own team rather than the one they inherited.
Yeah, I agree. The next game is Aberdeen versus Dundee. We'll go through this one in the same stages. So the first call on it's Shinny, first card, his first yellow card for holding and pulling. Looked a correct yellow card. He's tried to stop the player from advancing and creating an attack. Correct yellow decision for you, yep.
Yep, nothing else that can be awarded there. Nothing else can be awarded. He's stopped a player making forward progress. And at that moment in time, you think, well, I thought watching it, you think, why get involved? Because probably another 2 or 3 Aberdeen players coming towards him. Is the Dundee players going towards them? Needless, but understandable. And I think it was a reaction rather than a premeditated foul.
Yeah, clumsy one, but as they call it, a professional foul, really, don't they?
At the time you'd have taken it and probably went, you've taken one for the team.
Yeah, and then it comes back to bite later. Yeah. Dundee goal chopped off on the park, believed to be a clear decision. Bakayoko standing in an offside position in the keeper's line. VAR check took 3 minutes, and a lot of people are saying, why is it taking 3 minutes? It looks so obvious. Do you have any other reasons why that check might be taking so long?
I can't really. We obviously don't have the fortune to listen to the conversation that's going on between the match officials. As soon as that throw-in has been launched, now you can't be offside at a throw-in, but as soon as that throw-in has been launched, the Dundee defender, Dundee attacker, wins the ball in the air. Bakayoko is already in front of Kelleher-Roos, so therefore he's in an offside position. So for me, it's offside. The goal can't stand. The only reason that I can think, that the VAR conversation maybe lasted is to see if it came off an Aberdeen player, which it did, which would potentially negate the offside. But Bakayoko is still there even before it comes off the Aberdeen player. So I don't know why it went to 3 minutes, but David Dunn, who is AR2, the guy away furthest from the dugouts, that's why. And David Dunn got it correct. See, I can't explain the three minutes, but David Dunn got it correct.
Yeah, good call from David Dunn. What I will say on that one is that these pauses in games have taken a lot away from football fans' enjoyment. They're sitting there, we talked to in an early episode about a 7 minute one. Aberdeen St Mirren took 7 minutes with Nick Walsh in the monitor. 7 minutes the players are standing with cramps. 7 minutes the people in the stand don't really know what's going on, what's being discussed. And I think that to add something back into that fan experience, then I think we need to look at going down the route of what they do in rugby, and that you hear the referee talking to the video officials and you hear them discussing what's been said. And in rugby, that's worked really well because everybody's got clarity, everybody's still engaged in what's happening in the game. And you get situations where, you know, things are obscured and you hear them talking about that. For any rugby fans out there, they'll be aware of Scotland in the France game. There was a late try for Scotland that wasn't given because the referee couldn't see amongst the block of players the ball being put down. And you can hear the referee saying to the video official, I can't see the moment the ball's going down. There's too many players. I can't change my on-field decision. I'm not seeing the evidence to make me change my on-field decision. And then you hear the roar going up because they've heard the full conversation. They've heard why he's come to that conclusion. And everybody feels part of it. Do you think that that's probably what the future holds to keep fans engaged? Because we keep hearing a lot of people saying, VAR's ruined it for me. I'm not going back to the football.
I would agree entirely, 100% with that. I think that it would add to the theatre and the drama and the suspense that we're not currently getting in football. All you're getting is you see the potential VAR review, possible penalty, possible offside. You'd as well go and get in a bucket of popcorn for the next 7 minutes because you're not going to be doing anything, wait until a decision has come to, where if you can hear the match officials talking, so if I was a VAR or fourth official and Steve said to me, Des, can you let me know if that penalty, that foul occurred inside the penalty or outside? Then they know exactly what you're talking about and the whole crowd can hear it. Again, they don't need to agree with you, but they understand the thought process and it engages the fan process. And I think that referees would come out far, far better by people understanding how they got to those decisions. Do I think it will come? Probably not. Would I like it to come? Absolutely yes.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. I think it is one of those things. There's a desire for it from fans, probably a desire for it from managers, clubs and players. But when it gets to what the governing body say about it and what they want to control in terms of what's been heard and said, that's a different question for me. I just don't think he gets there past that.
But here's the thing. Sky, the broadcaster, get to hear it. They get to hear the conversation between it. So they have got control of the rights up here. They could, well, we've seen it in the Rangers-Celtic game with the Alistair Johnson handball and Seema? They then came back and said it was offside. Yeah, they told you that 20 minutes later. So why just not do it at the time? The reason I don't think it will come in is because we're a nation of primarily two big teams. And could you imagine the conversation being released between the officials if something controversial may have happened. And I think it's protecting and safeguarding the officials to a certain extent, but football's a different sport from rugby, unfortunately. But I would like to see the clarity, because it takes away any ambiguity, and it would also take away any of these, he's a Rangers-minded person, he's a Celtic-minded person. Who cares, as long as you get the right decision? And if it's conveyed correctly, then I'd like to think that people could conduct themselves correctly by understanding the situations that they've been arrived at.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that. Okay, Shinny's second yellow. It's happened in the split of a second. Boateng has lost control of the ball briefly. It was a poor first touch, which opens up a 50-50 opportunity. Shinny's had a sniff at a chance of getting the ball back here, but the way he's gone in with the tackle, he has exposing his studs. It looks quite aggressive. It's one of those that looks even worse when it's slowed down, but it's still a bad tackle in the end because he's caught his opponent and not the ball, and it's a yellow card. And unfortunately for him, that's a second yellow and he's off. Any other view on it?
No. And I think what people need to understand as well, see the first yellow card, take that out of the equation. Right, that's got nothing to do with this one. The defender has taken... My missus can take a better first touch than that, let's be honest. He's made a bad first touch. Shinny has came in. The ball's already away from him. He's made a challenge. It's reckless, dangerous. So on that own, on its own merit, you're judging that decision. On that decision, would you give a yellow card for that?
Yep, absolutely.
Right, so then you go back the way and you go, oh, he's already been yellow carded. The referee's not thinking, oh, that's two yellow cards, I can get him off. It's individual circumstances. You can only officiate and make a judgment on what's placed in front of you at that time. So Nick's quite rightly went in, yellow card, do you know what? You had a yellow card 40 minutes ago, two yellows, red, you're away. And I think what Shinny has to look at is he's now missing the cup semi-final because of an incident a couple of weeks ago, and he's now going to miss potentially a couple of games in the bottom six. A guy who has experience shouldn't be jumping into challenges that he's not going to win.
Yeah, unfortunate for him now. The only other thing I'd like to add on the game is I thought that Duke's performance in the first half was really impressive, looked back to his best from last season. I'm sure that will annoy Aberdeen fans because they could have really done with him all season, the player he was last year. But certainly it looks as if he's heading in the right direction to get back there.
Well, he's a quality player. There's no doubts about that. If he could add consistency to his quality, then he wouldn't be playing for Aberdeen. He'd be playing at a higher level. And we can say that about a lot of players in Scotland. But yeah, he certainly looked as if he was back to something close to his best. And if he can maintain that form, then he'll also take Aberdeen as high up as he can within that section.
Yeah. Next game is Celtic versus St Mirren. And the first talking point is Hatate going down in the box.
Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to let you start. I'm sorry to throw you under the bus with this one, but I'm just going to let you start on your opinion on this one.
Right, so I'm not going to endear myself to Celtic fans, but I would hope that a lot of Celtic fans and non-Celtic fans will understand this. For me, I thought he was looking for it. I thought he went down extremely easily. I thought he looked to initiate the contact. And for me, that's simulation. And when you put simulation, you put slash diving, then you put slash cheating. So for me, I thought he was at it, and I think it's ridiculous. What I was, I wouldn't say more surprised at, that's ridiculous. What I was surprised at was that Stephen McLean never caught it. I know it can't go to VAR, because VAR doesn't take into consideration cautions for yellow cards, because that's all simulation is sanctioned by. But yeah, for me, I think Hatate was at it. I would say it was a dive.
Yeah, Stephen McLean actually waved him up and for play gone, so he did see enough. I thought he should have given him a yellow card for it. And even though Steve's not on the episode today because of his other commitments at the moment, he has seen the footage of it. He has called it the same as we have, and he has pointed out it's not the first time he's had to discuss him, because he raised an incident in, against Hearts in the Cup last year where they went down softly and he called him out at that time. So he hopes he's not seen a pattern here with the player. But he has pointed out the statement he made in that incident last year, and this goes for all people when it comes to players, when it comes to simulation. He said, "You and he have advocated for some times that there should be some form of retrospective punishment, such as a red card and a two-match suspension for what is blatant cheating, trying to deceive a referee to win a penalty. The anomaly being that VAR can't get involved, as you said, because it's not a red card offence on the park at the time, but there needs to be more done to stamp this out of the game."
Yeah, we've been consistent for number of years, been consistent on this. It goes all the way back to Mikalunas, who used to play for Hearts. He was playing for, was it Latvia, I think he played for, and Gordon Smith at the time. He dived against Scotland, and Gordon Smith first brought this up, so we're probably talking about best part of 15 years ago, and I thought it was entirely correct, because you're trying to deceive a referee, you're trying to cheat your opposition to gain an advantage for your team. That can have massive effects on a positive for one team and a massive negative for the other team. You're getting potentially somebody sent off for a challenge that didn't happen. You're getting a penalty or a goal by your deception. You potentially then having a team knocked out of a competition or relegated. It's ridiculous. So the perpetrator, and whether that be for Celtic, Rangers, Motherwell, Hamilton Accies, Renfrew FC, anyone, if you have chosen to make that decision to try and cheat, I'm not going to use the word deceive anymore, if you've chosen that word, chosen that move to try and cheat someone, then you're the one in the wrong. So, and if it's proven, a two-game ban, and the only way you're going to get it out is if you start taking heavier sanctions, because I'll guarantee you, managers, can you imagine Brendan Rodgers getting the next five games without Rio Hotati? He's already missed a chunk of the season through injury. He's now got the big run-up. He's got a Scottish Cup semi-final. He's got next five league games. He's got Rangers at Ibrox, and Hotati's not available. Not through injury, not through sickness, not through internationals, because his actions of deception and cheating has made him unavailable for selection. I'd love to hear that conversation in a dressing room between a manager and player, because I'll guarantee you, if that goes through, every manager would go through every player who's making themselves unavailable for selection.
Yeah, clubs would put a heavier sanction on them as well. If, yeah, I agree that something has to be done, because we've seen three since Friday of players simulating. You know, we talked about Bashiri, we've talked about Katongo, we're now talking about Hatate, and it's very clear we've still got a problem with it. So yeah, something to be done to deter people from even thinking about it. And it doesn't matter whose club it is and what player it is. We called out Silva for antics last week for something similar, going down and rowing about holding a face, attempt to make something out to be more serious than what it was. And we'll continue to talk about it. I was actually quite disappointed with Sports Scene panel last night. They showed that incident on the highlight, but all they talked about was the goals. They never actually discussed their views on it, which, you know, a bit selective. Yeah, but
bit disappointing.
Yeah. Moving along, Hearts versus Livy, for me, the game of the day.
Yeah, totally agree.
And also the moment of the week for me, which was young Stephen Kelly on his birthday, scored a 30-yarder over the top of Craig Gordon. What a way to celebrate your birthday. It was a brilliant finish. I don't think it's done Craig Gordon's chances of going to the Euros any favours. Both goals that Stephen Kelly scored against him. I don't know where he was for that first one. I think he's been indecisive as he's come out. And he's been left in no man's land. And the second one, just think it's rusty from Gordon. I think he should normally get something down onto that. But great goal from Stephen Kelly, that first one. And not sure where that leaves Craig Gordon for the Euros. Next incident in the game, Oda was taken out by the levy keeper, Jamal George. Yeah. What I wanted to raise with this, because it was very clearly he took him out, why is there no red card for denying a clear goal-scoring opportunity?
So the law states, okay, the law states that if a goalkeeper in his own penalty area makes a genuine attempt to play the ball but commits a foul, then it's not an automatic ordering off. That's the area that he's allowed to use his hands, dive for the ball, try to stop the play going forward. So because the ball was in, yes, he's made a foul. Has he genuinely went to go for it? I think he has. He's just mistimed it. He's just not gotten there. However, I can see your point. See if the ball was 10 yards further up and it was a 1v1 and Jamal George then takes the Hearts player out, it would be a penalty kick. But because the ball was within his penalty area and he's made what's deemed to be a genuine attempt to play the ball, it's not necessarily a red card.
That's good to know. So that's the double jeopardy thing they speak of. That's where they're getting with that.
Yeah, double jeopardy. Yeah, that's exactly it. So double jeopardy is if you commit an offence, the goalkeeper sent off, you're down to 10 men. A player sent off, you're down to 10 men, you potentially lose a goal, and then you potentially lose a player for a couple of weeks. So for a goalkeeper, they have that dispensation that if they genuinely, and a player, if a player, anybody in the penalty area, if they make a genuine attempt to play the ball, but it doesn't happen, whether it be the right back goalkeeper, then it's not automatically a red card.
Good to know. Thanks for the clarity on that, Des. I'll keep that in mind. That no doubt that will come up and we'll refer back to that one day.
Hopefully not, but I'm sure we will.
Yenge, a very stupid second yellow card. He's been substituted. He's annoyed at being substituted and decides to kick the brickwork beside the tunnel. He's in the back seat behind his manager and he's giving it the big mouth and David Martindale's screaming at him, telling him to sit down and behave himself. And the referees ran across and decided, nah, you can just have a second yellow card as well, which is just, for me, I don't like things like that when it's non-football related being a card. I think Martindale was dealing with him and was going to, and will probably discipline him anyway for his behaviour. I would have just left it. I didn't see the need for the referee to run over and give him a second yellow, but I can understand why, based on the behaviour.
Personally, I wouldn't have been running across to get involved, but every player and official in the technical area is still subject to the laws of the game for their behaviour. They've got to behave in a manner that is acceptable. I don't know the context of what was done, and it's obviously happened off the field of play because the substitutions had occurred. So Yenge has obviously shown his displeasure, booted bottles or whatever. Personally speaking, I would have been leaving that to the fourth official, unless it's the fourth official who's instigated it, because Collins got a lot still going on, his play's about to restart. But you can see that David Martindale and Brian Rice are dealing with it and showing their disgust at the behaviours. However, again, I don't know the context of it. I don't know if Collins made that call on his own or if the fourth official said, no, you need to see this. I have seen people sent off in the past. We've seen managers, we've seen people sanctioned. I can understand why, but it must have been so severe that Colin was called across. Personally, what's going to come of it? He'll get a ban, but it was complete madness. And what he's done is now he's actually, Livingston only fielded five subs yesterday, a very limited squad, and they've now got even less. But you can understand the frustration, but you can't behave in that manner, get up and just start booting bottles about and like, could end up in the crowd, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think it serves as a warning to players that just because you're often substituted doesn't leave you free from further punishment for that. There's nothing much more to say on that game. Moving on, St Johnstone versus Kilmarnock, which there was nothing controversial in the game at all. The game just flowed. It was a good game of football. It's 4 goals in 5 for Marley Watkins, come on to great form. We spoke about him a week or two ago when he called in to the postage stamp and a beautiful goal. He said a great, strong end to the season. He's been very impressive. Still feel that Kilmarnock is going to have a say in the title race between Celtic and Rangers. They've shown the performances against both this season. I don't think there'll be straightforward ties between those clubs. And that's credit again, as we talked to Derek McInnes, is going to be a contender there for manager of the month in the budget and what he's achieved. Nothing else to add on to that game unless you spotted anything at all, Des.
I think the best thing that I spotted was that the referee Callum Scott, who's relatively new at this level, had a great game. There's been, he let the game flow, he picked up the fouls that I could see. That'll do his confidence the world of good. Say we're not here to slag referees, we're here to try and put them up as best we can. So no, the fact that I've got in my notes for St John's and Kilmarnock a blank line, referee done well. So well done, Callum.
Yeah, well done, Callum. It's good to see some fresh blood coming through and performing well. Last game of the weekend, at Ross County versus Rangers. The only real talking point is going to be the penalty call. And it looked a really clear handball. Arm was out from the body. No justifiable reason for where it was. Appears to consciously actually punch slightly, which I don't understand what he was thinking at the time. I think it's one of those lapses in concentration moments where you instinctively just do it. Can see why it was given. No argument at all. It's a penalty.
No, I think the player himself just he felt embarrassed. I think it was a reaction. He's jumping back towards his own goal and his hand just sort of flicks out. I don't know what he was thinking, but you could see as soon as he went down and they've looked for a VAR decision to be made on it, you could actually see the boy's face just sort of drop. It's as if to say, I know what I've just done here. And it put his team under pressure for the remaining minutes. So, it was a penalty kick. You can't get away from that. It was just a silly foul.
Yeah.
That could have proved costly.
Yep. That's really everything for the weekend, Des. I really just want to give a shout out because we've got a new sponsor, Exacta Concrete Flooring. Want to thank Noel and his team for coming on board with us. Want to thank our existing sponsors, Roxburgh Insurance Group and Beaks Group. I want to thank Renfrew FC for yesterday again, and a big shout out to the man of the match that we selected. Des, going to give him a call. I'm going to put his photo up here. Embarrass him.
Embarrassing me having to talk about him this much. Yes, but as I said, we made the right choice in the man of the match, in my opinion. So man of the match yesterday was Andy Wright.
Well done, Andy. Great performance, big man. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you so much. Please continue to like and subscribe. You subscribing helps us make more content and support more West of Scotland Football League teams. And thank you so much for everything so far. Good night.
Yep. Good night.